heads, roly-poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly-poly fish heads.
Laughing happy fish heads in the evening, floating in the soup.
Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Ask a fish head anything you want.
Hello, welcome to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent, and today we are lucky to have with us the Lobster Family from Red Hook Lobster Pound. Here with me is Susan Povich and Ralph Gorham. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
All right. And their top chef. Introduce yourself, chef.
My name is Mark Bonilla.
Okay. And these guys are here to talk to us about the alternative to the Thanksgiving turkey. Lobsters, as it turns out, were once actually more synonymous with Thanksgiving than cranberry sauce, sweet potatoes, and pumpkin pie. I did my research. It's true. All of which were not on the original menu of the first Thanksgiving, but lobster was. So these spiny, bug-like creatures are wonderful reminders of summer's past and yummy picnics on the beach. But there is a lot more to know about lobsters than most of us do.
They pinch.
They what?
They pinch.
They pinch. They pinch. But they are also, apparently, known to hold the answer of the fountain of youth. Unbelievable. I swear to God, I did my research.
Where did you hear that?
I'm here with the Lobster Family. They're like, this guy's on crack. All right. Anyways. So, first of all, tell us about the Lobster Pound. How did you guys come to think to start this kind of a thing?
We were up in... Susan's family has had a house in Bath, Maine for about 100 years.
Yep.
And we were up there and... we went down to Portland. We were on our way back and I walked into a place and... When we go up there, there's like 60 or 70 people. And we always go into Portland, and I can't stand hanging out at the house because there's so many frigging kids running around. And I got to know a couple of the guys. So one day we walked in, and they were selling like prime lobster. Mm. Some of the best lobster I've ever eaten or seen in my life for like $4.99 a pound. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So I found the owner, who happens to be Tom from Island Seafood up there, who owns a co-op. And I asked him what's going on, and he said, we're totally fucked. You know, I mean, it's, the whole market has dropped out. People. Right.
And this was what year?
Last Thanksgiving.
Yeah, last Thanksgiving.
And, terrible, right?
Yeah.
Worst lobster season of.
Not really. It's just there was no demand for it because everybody thinks lobster is really, really expensive. But in actuality, the restaurants are the ones who make the money on the lobster. Everybody else gets screwed down the line. It's a highly perishable product, and it molts. During the summer, it's probably some of the worst lobster because it's soft shell, but it's also sweeter.
So are we in lobster season?
Right now is the best lobster money can buy.
Okay. And why is that?
Because
they're getting hard again.
Okay.
They're getting hard shell. And everyone in Maine, we were up in Maine, and basically we brought this lobster back.
Right.
We bought like, I don't know, like 20 pounds of lobster for, you know, $50, and... We sat in our house in Red Hook and feasted, and my husband turned to me and goes, you know, I can drive this back every week. Yeah. I said, where? He goes, oh, in the Avalanche, you know? And I said, he goes, I think we should open a Lobster Pound in our vacant storefront in Red Hook. And I said, you know, you're completely out of your mind, but I think this is going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in Red Hook. People love to write about Red Hook. No one's doing this.
Yeah.
We got Fairway down the street. You know, they're selling Canadians. You know, my family's from Maine. We have all the hookups up there. Let's do it. And... That's when the Lobster Pound was founded. We were just sitting a year ago, and we opened up in the beginning of May last year.
Okay.
And with some very good neighborhood support and a lot of luck, we got ourselves on the map very quickly.
It's awesome. Now, who does the drive to Maine?
I do.
Okay. And it's, what, 6 hours up there?
I usually get up at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday and head up there and... I usually get back around 6, 7, depending on the traffic, even later. When we first originally started doing it, it was a 12-hour drive.
And then
we were originally doing it, by the way, with like 600 pounds of lobster in the back of our Avalanche with ice.
Yeah, so and, you guys have a van now, is that right?
Yeah, like yeah, in the middle of July, Ralph turns to me and says, are we going to keep doing this? Because the lobsters are dying on the BQE.
And the car has got to smell disgusting.
We gave up on that. Right. We got another car.
The lobster pounds come a long way since then. You guys now have what? It looks like a really top-notch refrigerated van.
Went out and got a reefered van where it stays at 40 degrees, which is key to keeping lobster alive. I mean, a lobster will live out of water for a week, but you know, that's not the ideal situation.
So the idea, if I can get this right, was that you wanted to bring Maine lobsters to New York in such a way that they were as fresh and as lively as possible so people could bring them, not just for a lobster roll, but could bring them home and make
a steam. Absolutely. The idea, it was sort of born in, the whole business was sort of a recession-born business.
Okay.
We bought a building in Red Hook, where we've lived for 15 years. We were going to build up some apartments and rent them out, but the financing market fell out. And we had a tenant who beat us for rent, and we had this empty space. Right. And we said, well, let's make some money off of this space. Yeah. And Ralph said, you know what, Susan? Lobster should not be considered a luxury item. And as you know, the history of lobster is it was fed to slaves and servants.
Right.
I mean, it was never a luxury item.
Yep.
Until about 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ralph said, you know, the people that make all the money off the lobster are the restaurants. So the idea was that you could bring it home, come back, we'll sell it for a reasonable price. Okay. It never got above 10 bucks a pound from us over the summer. And it truly was. I mean, we have emails and testimonials, the best lobster you can get in New York.
Now, I have a problem with that because this is not a reflection on you guys and your business, but in New York, here's the problem. In New York, it always says next to the lobster, market price. Now, I pay attention to that. And if you're listening to what's going on in Maine and you're back in New York having a lobster roll and your lobster roll is almost $40, $30-something dollars, you're going, but this is strange because I know lobster's at an all-time low right now.
Well, our lobster roll's 14 bucks.
Right. You guys have the cheapest and apparently best lobster roll in the city. But, is it true that New Yorkers sometimes don't adjust according to market price?
Well, the lobster rolls that are 40 bucks and 30 bucks,
yeah,
they do put a half pound to 3/4 of a pound of lobster in that roll. Or they should be.
Okay.
They should be.
So you're getting a lobster in there, basically.
More than a lobster.
Right.
You can only get about 4 to 5 ounces of lobster meat out of like a pound and a quarter lobster.
Takes 5 lobsters to make a pound of meat.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. So you are getting quite a bit of lobster in those $30 or $40 rolls.
Right.
But that's not the traditional Maine lobster roll.
Yeah.
I mean, the traditional Maine, you buy a quarter pounder or a half pounder.
Right.
It's like a single or a double. And they're anyway from 10 to 15 bucks, you know, upwards.
Okay.
The summertime, it's expensive in Maine because they got to make the money off the tourists.
See, that's what I heard. I heard from New Yorkers, they said, look, we sometimes we lose money on a lobster roll. Sometimes we make money. So oftentimes we're just keeping it at this price because we're, you know, the market's adjusting around us.
Well,
we're
Ralph will tell
sometimes.
You, every time, tell them about every time someone touches the lobster, the price goes up, right?
Yeah, well, Boston is the Northeast seafood hub.
Uh-huh.
Everything goes into Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canadians only work 160 days a year.
Okay.
So what they do, their season ends in June, and what they do is they do pounding.
Right.
It's where they'll take these huge PVC tubes, put in lobster, and they won't let them molt like all of the natural crustaceans, such as lobsters, throughout the rest of the coast all the way down to Maryland.
Mm.
They shed. That's where you get soft-shell lobster in the summer.
Right.
And it's much sweeter. The meat is tender, but that's the only way they grow in size.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes anywhere from 5 to 7 years for a one-pound lobster to become 1 pound. So, you know, I mean, at one point back in, you know, when the Pilgrims were here, in Plymouth Bay, you could walk along the beach and there would be 2 feet of lobsters just sitting on the beach.
Yeah.
And they would say to their guests coming over for this, what's coming up, Thanksgiving Day, hey, I'm sorry, we got to feed you lobster again tonight.
Right. I actually heard that there was a stipulation somewhere that said you cannot serve slaves lobster more than 2 or 3 times a week.
That's a lobster/salmon story.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear about lobster, sometimes you hear about salmon. They were the most plentiful fish.
Right.
But the problem is, as Ralph said, It goes into Boston. So every time someone touches the lobster, the price goes up 50 cents because you got to get it on. You got to get it on to the pound, right? It goes from the boat to the pound.
Right.
The co-ops take 50 cents a pound. Mm-hmm. Then you got to get the guy to truck it down to Boston. He takes 50 cents a pound. Or whatever. The point is it's a certain amount. And then it comes down to New York. You got the guys in Fulton holding it. They're taking a certain amount of pound.
Right.
By cutting out all those middlemen and driving it directly ourselves, if we can amortize the gas and the tolls and the time, that price comes drastically down. So
that's
unless
you're
bringing in your own stuff, you're talking about $2 to $3 that's getting added on to the cost of lobster. That's why in Portland they can sell them off the dock for $5 a pound.
Right.
Right? But
plus the dock only cost them $20 a month, whereas we're paying $6,000 a month.
Right.
Sure.
So,
you know.
You know, you've got
it's
the amortized
relevant.
Food cost in there,
right.
You know, of what's going on. It's that's what happens. The more people touch the lobster, the more expensive it gets. By the time you get it to a New York City restaurant, six people have touched that lobster.
Got
and
it.
Generally, it's been out of the water a long time, too.
So let me turn this one over to the chef for a second. The chef.
Well, our lobsters are touched by two people. The guys that catch them and the man that brings them down for Maine. That's it.
So here's what I want to know, because you guys may or may not know about the... I've done a lot of research in the lobster roll and the history of the lobster roll, not in where I'm from, because that's an obvious one. I'm from Boston, but in New York. And in the as the story goes in New York, you have Rebecca from Pearl Oyster Bar, who, you know, had a lover who ended up sort of going her separate way and opening Mary's Fish Camp. And then you had these two people who claimed that they had brought the lobster roll to New York City. Then, unfortunately for Rebecca, Ed comes along, who was her sous chef, and then Ed opens up Ed's Lobster Bar, who's a good friend of mine, makes a fantastic lobster roll. But now you've got three people claiming that they introduced New York to the lobster roll. So you have this saga around lobster and the lobster roll, and I kind of feel like wherever you are, you know, an adherent of, when you take a bite of a lobster roll, you're sort of like jumping into bed with one of these three people.
Not anymore.
So what makes, that's why I'm asking you. So now you guys.
Anybody want to sleep with my wife?
So what makes a perfect lobster roll?
It's the perfectly buttered and grilled bun. Absolutely, without a doubt.
I agree.
We use the JJ Nissan buns from Maine, and it's got to be...
Tell me about that bun, because that's not a Pepperidge Farm top loader.
No, that doesn't have that much gluten in it.
No way,
no gluten.
Yeah, no, not as much as a Pepperidge Farm.
Okay, so you got
they put so much in that you get a Doritos effect, where it's almost like MSG. It makes you want to eat it more and more. But
and also the Pepperidge Farm bun has more crust.
More crust. Okay, so you got your beautiful buttered bun right now.
Yeah, it's got the flat sides on either side. So you smear it with the perfect amount of butter and grill it on both sides.
Both sides, not one side.
That's the point. Exactly.
That's great. Okay.
Exactly.
Next.
And that's it. So you get that golden brown crust on both sides.
Beautiful.
Not just the one.
Now you've got your lobster meat, which is, in your case, is it tail and claw or just tail?
It's tail, claw, and knuckle.
It's everything.
Yes.
All right. And how much and what type of mayonnaise are you...
We're making a homemade mayonnaise.
Homemade mayonnaise.
You'll never get the recipe.
Okay.
I mean, if anybody knows how to make mayonnaise, it's pretty
secret
pretty simple.
Recipe.
It's pretty simple. So.
And
fresh lemon juice is the key.
Lemon juice.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got now, are you doing anything in the way of celery or lettuce?
Yeah,
or?
We do a little bit minced celery.
Okay.
We throw down some iceberg lettuce, just a slight bed of lettuce.
Right.
And the lobster is mixed with the homemade mayonnaise.
Okay.
For fresh squeezed lemon juice, salt, pepper, and butter is our little, if you want to call it a secret ingredient. You know, but we just folded enough butter there at the end, so it folds right into the mayonnaise. Just enough. Just enough.
Awesome.
You know, and just enough mayonnaise to bind it. That's the whole thing.
Now,
we're not slathering
it. Great. Now everyone's going to open the lobster roll shack. I got Luke's breathing up my butt in the East Village. Now I'm going to have 25 more people.
No,
it's not the ingredients. It's the finesse.
Yeah.
It's the way you do it.
Yeah.
If you know how to do it, then, you know.
And it's not that hard to do, but why do people mess it up in this town?
Because when you use, look, we don't do a lot of things.
Okay.
We do a couple things.
Right.
We do it really fresh.
Right.
Mark has worked at some of the best chefs around.
Yep.
You can't sling it.
Right.
Lobster is delicate.
Yep.
It's about the mixture. It's about how you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
We mix all our salad by hand, meaning Mark puts on plastic gloves and gently mixes it by hand.
Right.
You don't want to break up the pieces. You want to have big fat pieces so there's not too much mayonnaise. One of the problems I have with Mary's, Pearls, and Ed's.
Yeah.
They shred the stuff sometimes. You know,
it's like tuna salad.
There's nothing I hate more than a shredded lobster salad.
Okay, so keep them chunky.
You got to keep them chunky.
Keep them chunky. And you got a little bit of added butter in there, which we know is never a bad thing.
Right.
You got your toasted bun on either side, both sides.
Both sides. It's got to be. It's got to be.
Right.
We also make the Connecticut lobster roll.
Tell me about that.
There's a question about
who came up with the Connecticut lobster roll?
Well, the Connecticut lobster roll, there's a history that, like, it was apparently introduced. There's an issue as to whether the lobster roll is invented in Maine or Connecticut. Okay. The Maine Lobster Council will tell you it's invented in Maine.
And the Massachusetts Council will tell you it's Massachusetts.
But there's an issue as to whether it was invented in Connecticut. The Connecticut roll was introduced by a traveling salesman in Connecticut. It is simply warm lobster in butter on that buttered roll.
No
mayonnaise. No lettuce. No mayonnaise.
No celery. No salt and pepper.
What do you guys
prefer?
Lobster and butter.
If you could have your what would be your preference?
I like the main roll because I like the mixture of the hot roll and the cold meat.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, same difference. Exactly.
Connecticut. Fuck,
really?
Fuck the man.
Really? You like the Connecticut?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's the one you get when you're driving down the highway. And
that's
you see,
the one
like,
you get at
Red's
East and Wiscasset. Yeah,
right? A gas station that says, we sell live lobsters. You're like, what?
You know what that is. That's a fisherman putting their kids out there when they bring in Virgin Boat Run and they don't want to sell it to the co-op and they try to screw everybody.
Right.
They put their kids on the side of the road and sell the lobster, the pick of the litter, for $4.99.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting.
Right.
That's why the industry's so screwed up. These guys are getting screwed up there, left and right.
Just Linda Bean's not helping.
So we're going to
not helping. Linda Bean wants to have McDonald's lobster rolls. I'm waiting for her to
McDonald's
open up
has lobster now, you know.
In Maine they do,
right?
Yeah. You can get Fat Boys has a really good one, too.
Cisco Foods. Too.
Guys, we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about this thing, which is about sort of the lives of lobsters. And we have a lobster with us. So we're gonna rock this song. And I want you guys to listen closely because this will tell you about the life of a lobster, this song. This is from a musical, a lobster musical.
I will now sing a song not about growing old, but about growing big.
Do we even have vocal cords?
Leroy is my name and I'm no ordinary lobster. I live alone, that's why I've grown into this massive monster. I've escaped from fishermen and all their nasty cages. I've been eluding octopi and hungry fish for ages. There's acid rain and oil spills and general pollution. They interrupt a lobster's life, but I found the solution. I've lived so long and grown so big, I've earned my nom de guerre. It's Leroy the uninterrupted long-lived lobster,
Tell us how you did it. If it is a drug, let's get it. We want to know so we can be like you or the uninterrupted long-lived lobster.
I want to be exactly like...
Yes, now listen. I've never had a parasite or suffered from diseases. I've outlived my brothers, nephews, and my nieces' nieces. While they were caught and born alive and chopped up into bits, time and again I have escaped the death we call the abyss. I've dodged the fatal blows of pounding waves and craggy coastline. A tsunami has not got me in all of my long lifetime. Oceanic accidents occur, but not to me. I'm just a growing lobster, growing all naturally.
Naturally! Come on, Leroy, spill it. How did you avoid the skillet? We need to know so we can grow like you are the uninterrupted long-lived lobster.
It's Leroy,
the uninterrupted lobster.
Well, it's simple, really.
Leroy,
I'm trying to explain
to the uninterrupted lobster.
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 Quiet, here's what you do. Find a cave with lots of krill and eat. And when you're safe and ready, you expand mode and repeat. Then two more things to keep in mind and then you'll never age.
One.
Geographic isolation.
Two.
Always avoid the cage.
Avoid the cage.
Now, everyone, repeat after me. Eat. Mode, expand, repeat.
Eat.
Yes.
Mode, expand, repeat.
Yes, you've got the first part. And now the second part.
Avoid the cage.
Avoid the cage?
Yes.
Isn't there food in the cages?
Yes.
How do we eat if we can't get to the food in the cages?
The fishermen that own the cages eat you for food with butter.
I don't get it.
All right, guys, we're back. Another episode of Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. And what I'm asking these guys now is really because we were just laughing, but I want to know how you guys met each other. Can you tell me that story?
Well, Ralph and I have been married for quite some time.
Yeah.
We met when I was building my first restaurant on 13th Street.
Okay.
And I needed a contractor.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who I'd worked for at this restaurant in Soho called Frontier, which closed some time ago.
Yeah.
He recommended Ralph to me, and Ralph came over. He gave me a lot of help. And my partner kept saying, that guy has a crush on you. I said, oh, don't be silly. He's married.
Ralph is doing rude things to the microphone right now. Yeah, go on.
At the time, I was engaged to someone else.
Uh-huh.
And Ralph didn't end up being my contractor, But I did give him killer hockey tickets to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Devils and the Rangers.
Unbelievable.
And we didn't see each other.
Love at first sight.
We didn't see each other for 3 years.
Oh, really?
No. Then I went to a Christmas party and I saw him. And then I was
closing. That's not what happened.
No, I was closing.
You were in Andrew's bar and you fell off. You were so shit-faced.
Is it
then
true?
Then you got back up on the seat and you said to Andrew, when he opened up his own restaurant, you said, Andrew, I'm broken alone. What should I do? And he said, you call Ralph, so is he.
That's true.
Wow, that's a real sweet story, guys. Really so warms the heart.
Yeah, I know.
Wait. So he shows up in my restaurant and he shows up riding a red Harley that he built, which was really
You're a big
nice.
Harley guy, right? Still? Red, fitting. Well, red Harley.
It was a lobster Harley.
Did it have claws in the front?
Yeah, kind of. it was something that my partner at the time, Paul Hoffman, and I designed. It was a one-piece monobody.
Okay.
You could lift it off, and instead of taking off fenders, I don't know if you worked on bikes or not, but...
I have one.
It had four... You know,
I worked on it.
It had four bolts.
I'd pay someone to work on it.
Yeah, there you go. It has four bolts, and the whole thing's exposed.
Okay.
It takes about 3 minutes to take the body off. Mm. And we made it out of Kevlar fiberglass and metal.
Cool.
And we designed it. We were doing... This is back in, what, 93, 95?
Yeah.
I can't... Yeah, 93.
We were putting 180, 190 tires, doing everything OCC was doing.
So this guy shows up, hold on his big Harley Davidson, red like a lobster.
Ask you on a date.
You give him tickets, and then...
I give him tickets. And he comes in the bar, he says, so Povich, you want to go out?
Wait, now tell me about your last name. Hold on a second. Let's tell us who you are. I don't have just any lobster woman on this
who
show.
Are you?
I'm from the Poviches from Maine. My cousin Michael's the DA of Ellsworth County.
No, please, come on. As in Maury.
Yeah, my dad is Maury.
Unbelievable. Maury Povich.
From Maine.
His dad is
from Maine. My grandfather, Shirley, was raised in Bar Harbor, Maine.
What does Maury have to say about lobsters? Does he care?
He's reserving judgment.
What would he rather
he's
you be
seen
doing?
He's seen Ralph and I go through various many ventures. He's seen me go through ventures in the food business. He's reserving judgment.
Does he ever talk about you on the show?
No.
He never says
no,
because
I always know who the
daughter.
Father of my baby is.
Is that Ralph?
Ralph We're is the sure. baby daddy. I'm absolutely positive.
Okay. So back to lobsters. Hold on. We got it. We're off the subject for a second.
Let's go back to lobsters.
All right. So let's just here's the limited thing that I know about lobsters. We have one with us. Let's pull this guy out, okay?
That guy's practically dead.
How do I tell? This is not a Maine lobster,
not
by the way.
My lobsters.
Is this a male or a female?
That's a male.
And how do we tell it's a male?
Because he's got a hard on.
Those pinchers right there.
Yeah.
When you turn the body over, those little fins right there on the male, they're hard. On the female, they're soft because that's where they release the eggs.
Got it. Okay. So from what I know, here's what I know. So the lobster is a species that does not show any signs of age in that it doesn't grow weaker. It doesn't lose, you know, its appetite. It actually just grows bigger. That's what that song was about.
Right.
Right? Yeah, molt, expand, repeat. So the whole thing is that it's very possible. The only thing that can really get in a lobster's way is being caught or being eaten by a seal or, you know.
Or another lobster.
Or another lobster.
You do know that lobsters are total cannibals.
Totally.
And they eat 50% of the legs.
Hence why they have these rubber bands, right?
50% of the lobster eggs that are laid are eaten by
lobsters. So
more than that.
Conceivably, there's this idea that the biggest lobster was like 44 pounds or something ever caught.
I don't know. There was that one recently that was caught and given to the Chinese restaurant.
Right. But what they're saying is that if something bad doesn't happen to a lobster through its life, it is very possible that there are 200-pound lobsters on the ocean floor.
In theory.
Right out there with the big squids.
It's it's unbelievable. And so they're doing all this research right now to find out what it is. What, you know, is it an enzyme? Is it steroids? What's in a...
What does that lobster look like to you that kind of runs around New York City?
What do you mean? What is...
It kind of looks like a cockroach, right?
It looks like a cockroach.
Right, and what species can survive nuclear wars?
So it's a bug. basically.
Cockroaches.
Right.
Right? They've always said cockroaches can survive anything. So maybe what they should be looking at is the relationship between the cockroaches and the lobster.
But so they're strong as hell. They're built like tanks, right? Yeah.
They're very adaptable to ocean. Like when there's a northeast storm that came up, the lobsters all went deep.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the price went up that week, as you talk about market price.
Right.
The week before the northeaster hit, there was no catch.
But you know what can affect lobsters?
Yeah.
Global warming.
Global warming.
There are not nearly as many lobsters in Long Island in the Bay. Yeah. You know what I mean? And around New York City.
Well, that has to do with pollution, too.
So, tell me about that. What is Maine doing? Because everyone says, you know, lobstering is the only form of fisheries that is actually responsible, where these guys are taking measures to make sure that there are populations to come, lobster populations.
Well, it's mostly economic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
no. Not at all. They have a marine patrol that it's Dave Testaverde. I've met him several times.
Right, but the fact is I think in Maine it's driven by economics. Now they're actually the governor's council is looking to get them certified sustainable, just because when countries are, especially in Europe where a lot of the lobster goes, countries only want to buy like certified sustainable fish. But I think for years the Maine lobster business has been doing this for an economic purpose, which is to keep their largest business going.
Sure.
So they take many steps in order to make sure that there's a good breeding ground and there's sustainable fishery.
And what are some of those steps? One thing I looked at was, you know, they notch, it's what they call it, notching. They put a little thing in.
On the right-hand side.
The breeding females are released. Is that right?
If they have any larvae growing on the inside, which are connected, they hook onto their swimmers there, as you understand. If you get caught with one of those.
Right.
It's almost a $5,000 fine, and you lose your license.
Wow.
And they confiscate your boat until you go to court.
Right.
So you can't fish. Right. Number two, if you take a lobster that's over 5 pounds, 5 inches in body length, that is a $10,000 fine, and they confiscate your load and your boat.
Wow.
And you have to go to court. I mean,
I don't know if you've seen this, but have you seen videos of, because they say that 90% of the takeable lobsters are taken. In other words, of the available lobsters that are the right size, that 90% of them are taken.
Sure.
But something that was crazy is they did these videos underwater, and you can see that like more than half of the lobsters are almost teasing the fishermen. They have gone in, they've taken the bait, and they're outside of the trap. And they're like on top of the trap, around the trap, but only like 3 lobsters are actually in the trap.
They're the stupid ones.
that's good. So we're left with the smart lobsters that hopefully breed more.
Well, one of the things they do with the traps, you know, in Maine, they have escape vents.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And they also.
That's law.
They also they're
tell me about
laws.
The escape fence. What
well,
does
just
that do?
That a smaller lobster can get out.
So it's a certain size.
Yeah.
So the small ones zip out.
Anything under a pound, they call them chicks.
They get out.
Chicks. And don't they call them cocks, too? The males, the big cocks?
Oh, yeah. I don't.
Basically, yeah. They're the breeders.
I think that was sarcastic.
No, I heard that.
I haven't heard
cocks
that.
And chicks, right?
The other that's thing that's,
I'm not making that up.
He's not.
The other thing that's really interesting that they do is they make the netting on the outside. Well, now they use plastic boxes. They're back with the, you know, they have biodegradable rope on them so that if a pot gets lost, which happens a lot, right? There are a lot of pots just sitting down there.
Right.
The rope, the escape hatch, it'll be biodegradable so that ultimately it will open up so the lobsters can get out.
Kidding.
So there aren't a lot of dead lobsters sitting in traps, you know, that can't get out. Underneath the
that's awesome. And then and then I heard too that the licensing to have a lobstering license is unbelievably difficult to obtain.
That's not true.
No,
because
a commercial one is very
yeah. That's
very,
what I'm talking about.
Commercial one. Yeah,
it's usually done through the families. They I mean, you got to be like, and also there's an unwritten law. Yeah. I mean, that's why there were 2 shootings this year and like 3 or 4 boat burnings up there.
Wow. Yeah. I've heard about boat burnings, but actual
in
shootings,
in Booth Bay,
too.
three boats got burned. It's because the people on the shore are going to the outer islands.
Uh-huh.
And there was a shooting up at Mesquite Island.
So what? They're going to territory that's off limits?
Yeah, well, these guys have been living on this island for 30 years, and all of a sudden he's got 5 other people up there from the mainland fishing in his grounds.
Right.
And he's been doing it for 5 generations. Right. What would you do?
Right. It's a real Hatfield and McCoy type situation.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys don't mess around. They're drinking all day long out there.
Right.
There's also a trap.
Shoot him!
Currently, any one commercial fishing vessel can only have 800 traps, which seems like a lot. But It used to be 1,200, and there's a movement to get it back down to 400. The fact is, all this sustainability certification, while they're pushing for it now, in the face of the economic and of the lack of demand, you know, it's sort of gone by the wayside a little bit, but it will come back up. There's always been a move to push the number of traps per vessel down. Yeah. But when the price of diesel goes up, you know, at some point, the demand, the price got so low, the guys weren't going to stop fishing. It just isn't worth it. You know, right. if they're, when they're getting $1.95 a pound at the co-op.
Right. So now we've got wonderful, wonderful Maine lobsters that you guys have made available to us here in Brooklyn. What is the future of the lobster pound? I mean, where are you guys going to go? Because I came in the other day, and it's like a dream for anybody who's, you know, been to Maine, loves the ocean, loves lobsters. I'm putting this guy back in. But I'm curious, right now you guys don't have lobsters, you know, to steamed. And, you know, for all us yuppies, you know, no, some people don't want to do the work.
Talk to Mike Bloomberg about that. His buildings department and his health department.
Is that the problem you guys need?
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
So you need an Ansel system and all that?
No, we don't. We can do other things. There are new machinery out there to do other things. It's just between, you know, the buildings department, the health department. It's like dealing with the U.S. government.
But we do a Friday night lobster dinner, at least right now, at Rocky Sullivan's in Red Hook. We're going to expand that next year to Friday and Saturday.
Which I have heard is awesome.
It is awesome. It is awesome. Hey, I'm sitting here at Roberta's. I'd love to do one here.
Awesome.
We're looking at some other locations in Brooklyn to expand. It's all, you know, nothing. Everything's in the burner now. Nothing has been signed. Right. But we have a lot of competitors nipping at our heels. We started this little cheap lobster roll rage, and it seems that everyone wants to get in on it.
And you guys do a bisque, too, don't you?
Yeah, Mark does a bisque.
Mark does a bisque that I have to say.
We do a grits as well.
And grits, that's right. Lobster grits, which I had never had before.
Yeah. He does. They're awesome. We also, he and I were kicking around at a lobster BLT.
Nice.
Oh, that's happening. It's coming.
Nice. It's coming. So
Martha Stewart liked the bisque, though.
I heard she loved the bisque. You know, she hated my chowder.
Really?
She hated my chowder. She is a bitch.
She hated it?
Martha Stewart's a bitch.
I expected the worst from her. I really did.
She looked at me, and she looked at her little cheat sheet, and she goes, "Why are you using cream? I would use milk." I was like, "Well, Martha Stewart, because, you know, chowder is not for dieters." Anyway, you've heard it here. That was another episode of Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. And I am here with the best lobster family in New York.
We were at a party. The dear love fell in the game. Someone reached in and grabbed it.